1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 and 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And I want to preach for a while this morning from the subject, in remembrance. Father, we thank you for this time together. I pray, God, you'll help me to teach your word accurately. Lord, give us open hearts and ears to hear it and understand it, and Holy Spirit to help us apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In that video, I saw, and some of you, I'm probably late to the party, maybe some of you are aware of it, I saw, there's a quote by George Patton that I had never seen before, and I was kind of surprised by it. And the quote was, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." I thought that was pretty good. That there are people that are willing to... You know what Memorial Day is about, says to me? And this is so... It's so contrary to the culture that we live in. People are trying to live forever nowadays. That's not God's intent for us. I don't know where this sermon is going to go this morning, okay? I felt weird about it the last couple days. God told Adam and Eve when they sinned, he put them out of the Garden of Eden and he put flaming swords over the entrances, keeping them out of the garden so that they wouldn't do what? Eat from the tree of life and end up living forever. God never intended mankind, once since entered the world, to live forever. There are things bigger than life itself, and that is eternity. We are eternal beings, but not in a sinful, fallen world. We are eternal beings to live in the condition that God created man to live in, with him, in paradise, in perfection. This idea of people trying to live forever, I'm glad there are people that are saying, you know what, there are things bigger than me living forever, and I'm willing to lay down my life for them. That's what Memorial Day says to me. There are people that realize there are things more important than my individual just continuing to exchange oxygen and live a little bit longer. And I'm willing to put my life on the line for those things. We should thank God people like that lived. We're grateful for their sacrifice, but they had to live and be willing to lay down their life before they could actually do it. So I really like that quote. If you look it up, the numbers will vary, but the total number of people that have died in defense of this nation since the Revolutionary War is in the neighborhood of 2 million people. 2 million people have given their lives in defense of this country. Memorial Day is that day that we take time to remember all of those people and what their sacrifice meant to this country. It's not simply just a day to honor our military. It's a day to remember the people who gave their life in defense of this country. For a lot of people, Memorial Day is a three-day weekend. It's the beginning of summer. School has ended and vacation season starts. For some people, it's going to be the first time their barbecue gets used, you know. But that's how a lot of people treat it, but that's not what it is. That is not what Memorial Day is all about. The word memorial is about, again, remembering. It's a day of remembrance. The word memorial or remember in the New Testament and the Greek has the meaning of to exercise memory, to recollect, to make mention of, being mindful of, or to remember. It is an intentional, purposeful remembering of an event or events of something significant. This is significant, it's meaningful, it marks something important, and we should remember it. It was a single event or single events, or maybe a number of events, but moving forward, it is important for us to intentionally stop and remember it because it's significant to our lives. And that's the meaning of this idea of memorial or to remember. We see that God places a value on remembering significant events, events that change a current circumstance. Something happened, and everything that we thought was going to be now changes directions, and it no longer happens. It's good to remember that. It's good to remember what happened in that moment, that now I'm changed and I got, you know, now I'm somewhere else other than where I thought I was going to be. It's an event that marks a milestone in history. You know, on this date, a significant event happened, and we mark it, we remember it. It might be something that changes the course of history. You know, history is not a straight line. It goes all over the place based on many of these types of events. Events happen that change the course of history, and we could come up with countless numbers of them. Societies, the world itself is changed because of these events. It's important for us to understand those, that Memorial Day is not just a day off. It's not just a three-day weekend or the beginning of a vacation or something like that. They are events, and these lives made a difference in where the world is today. There are literally, you think about in World War II alone, because of the sacrifice of men and women, Americans that fought in that war, nations are different than they would have been. America probably could have went through World War II if we'd not participated and not been greatly affected our course in history, although a lot of industry and things came out of it for us. But nations like Germany would be a different country if not for Americans laying down their lives. France would be a different country. It was occupied by Germany. Russia would have been a different country had not been for the sacrifice of Americans. North Africa would be different if not for the lives given of Americans in World War II, because it was occupied by Germany. You go to Korea, South Korea would not exist. How different would the world be if those nations were at some other point in history because Americans weren't willing to give their lives? Memorials are significant. They aren't just a plaque. They aren't just a headstone. We may put up plaques. We may put up a statue. It's why it's stupid to tear down statues. You don't change the event. Just because a person that you don't like did a thing, the event was still important. That's what we're remembering. We may put up a plaque. We may put up a stone. We may put up a statue, but that's not the point. The memorial is us remembering the significance of the event, and it's important for us to remember those things. If not for the sacrifice of the soldiers, even starting in the American Revolution, we would not exist as a nation. We would still be a British possession. Our founders, again, realized that there's something more important than their own lives. And that's why they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Those 56 men that signed that said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, because there's something more important than us. And many of them paid with their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors. Because again, something's bigger than us. We would not exist if it were not for that. We would not, if we did not believe that all men were created equal and we all are free to pursue to pursue life as God planned for us, we would not have fought a civil war. 560,000 to 600,000 men. The greatest loss of American life in any war is our own civil war. What if people didn't think it was worth laying down their life for that? How different would we be as a nation? Memorials are significant. They aren't just little, you know, they're not the little everyday things. It's something that happens when you go, oh, this is big. The world is different because of this. That comes down to all the individual lives that were given in order to defend this country. Memorializing or remembering is good, it's proper, it's honorable, and I believe it's godly. Let's go to Genesis 28, verse 18 and 19. and look a little bit about what God, how God uses memorials. Genesis 28, 18 and 19. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. This word pillar, where it says he set it up as a pillar, it means a memorial stone. He marked it as a, he made a memorial because there was a significant event that occurred in this place, something that was life-changing. Now, the word Bethel means house of God. So he set it up, this memorial, he made it, and he called it the house of God. God, he anointed it with oil. The oil denotes a presence of God. It denotes the power of God. It denotes the blessing of God. It denotes the authority of God. So Jacob is setting up this memorial to God and saying, this is the house of God. God was here. His authority, his blessing, his presence dwelt in this place. So I'm calling it Bethel. This is the house of God. Things changed, and I'm going to show you why things changed. It was a very history-changing course at this moment. Let's go back just a couple of verses prior to what I just read to verse 13, Genesis 28, verses 13 through 15. And this is what it says. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land of which you are lying. Remember, he was laying on something. He had his head laying on a stone. The land of which you are laying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Pretty significant event in the course of human history. God is speaking to Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. And he is saying, oh yeah, that covenant that I made with Abraham when I told him I'd bless him and give him this land and his people would be my people. I'm going to be in covenant with them and they're going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. I am reestablishing that covenant with you. I am saying and reminding you once again that I am in covenant with you. And now he says that your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. Well, man, if it was just the dust in my house, that'd be pretty significant, let alone the dust of the earth. He's establishing. It changed the course. It changed the course of the whole world. How do I know that? Because God's word says that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Jacob says, oh, this is significant. This is something worth remembering. So what did he do? He made a memorial and said, whenever anybody sees this, they should be reminded that God was here. God, in fact, if it's the house of God, God dwells here. His presence dwells here. And at this place, God reestablished, reconfirmed the covenant that he made with my grandfather, Abraham. But the thing is, it affects Jacob's life and how he moves forward. When we have a significant event like this, then going forward, we live differently because of it. We memorialize the people that have laid down their lives for our nation because our nation is different moving forward. Just like Jacob's life and the nation of Israel was different now moving forward from that moment on. That's what it is. Jacob's encounter with God at Bethel still affects the world today. Do we realize that? The conflicts that is currently going on and seems to go on regularly in the Middle East is a result of this, because the Jews are God's chosen people and the Jews are fighting and they still lay down their lives to see this fulfilled, to live in the land that God gave them. We know there's a whole group of people that want to take that land from them, right? Do you see what a memorial is? A memorial is something that is of great significance and changes and affects the course of history so much that people, again, are willing to lay down their lives because this thing is bigger than just me. This has been going on now for millennia. If something is going on for millennia, it's probably bigger than just me, amen? And my life I give in the service of a greater cause. That's what those who have served and died for this country, they gave their lives in the service of something that was greater than themselves. Going to Genesis 28, verse 20. It says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and it will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and his stone, that memorial stone, remember, that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So once again, we see that Jacob's reaction to this encounter with God is, again, he's in covenant. And he's reestablishing this history that we still today as Christians are a part of. When we understand this passage, we realize that if God had not met with Jacob and established this covenant and reconfirmed this covenant and kept it, Israel would not be God's chosen people as we see them today. The whole nation of Israel would, as we know it, and the Jews being God's people, they would not exist today if it were not for this encounter with Jacob and God. I think that's pretty significant, amen? Do you think that's something remembering? This is what the intent of a memorial is really explained in this. Israel, who has been fighting for their existence since May of 1948, they look at something like, they remember this, they think about Jacob's encounter with God at Bethel and the reconfirmation of the covenant and go, when the whole world is against us, we're not giving up because we know that God has promised this land to us. We know that God has made a covenant with us. And no matter what happens, and no matter what is said and done, we are not giving up. We are not giving in. We're not just going to roll over and take it. Why? Because they know what happened back there at that point. It's that kind of thing that helps you hang on. A memorial helps you hang on to the truth, the reality of an event, and say, no matter what the circumstances are around me now, I know what's more important and I know what's true. And that's what we as a nation say when people go out and they lay down their lives for their nation. They say, I'm willing to do that because we memorialize things like our nation's founding and the men who gave their lives to found this nation. And we know its significance and it's important. And so we're not going to give up. No matter what the world does, no matter what circumstances are, we're not going to give up. We're willing to stand up and fight and lay down our lives if we have to, because we're rooted in the truth of what we memorialize at the founding of this nation and our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. You guys are really quiet. It's also important what we memorialize. Micah 5:13 says, I will destroy your carved images and your sacred stones from among you. You will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. We live in a world that has great discovery and invention and development and technology and all kinds of things that we have. And sometimes we marvel at ourselves and what we can come up with. I have the whole world at my fingertips. I heard somebody do a joke one time about complaining about somebody doesn't answer their phone right away, or they don't respond to your text message or whatever right away. And they're like, do you realize that you're sending a message into outer space and it's bouncing off of a satellite and then coming back down to a person like half a world away from you, and you're mad because they didn't answer their phone within 3 seconds. It's pretty crazy. We marvel at our own abilities, our own inventions, our own skills, the things that we've made with our own hands. God says not to do that. He's going to destroy those things. There's going to become a point someday that that's going to be meaningless. We want to memorialize those things, not the things that we invent. We need to memorialize the God who gave us the ability and the intelligence and the skills and the creativity to invent such things. Which is more valuable? Which is more important? If you give me my choice over, you know, technology and all that it can do these days, or God, I'll take, because I often say that we list all of the problems that the world has, and they're numerous, amen? But I really think there's only one problem the world has. There's only one. It's lack of Jesus. All the other problems are just symptoms. Because God / Jesus / Holy Spirit, they're the source that everything else comes from. Without the source, then you don't get all of this. You don't get all of the amazing things that we can create with our own hands. Because when we believe that we're the ones that created it, we marvel at ourselves. When Jacob set up the pillar, the memorial, it's not because he marveled with himself. He marveled that God, the source, came and met with him and made him a promise. It's important what we memorialize. I want to memorialize the source. Our founders put this in context. We say, well, we're memorializing men here today, men and women who have died for our country. Not. Yes, we are. We're remembering their sacrifice. But we're memorializing, going back to our founding, our founders who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors believed that this nation was ordained by God. No matter what the current politicians and media wants to tell you, they believed it was ordained by God, that this nation was established by God, and they gave God the due honor in its formation and its governance. So it is honoring, and so when people lay down their lives to defend this, they're laying down to defend a nation that was ordained by God. The source. Amen? Not just the people who laid down their lives. If you'd like to know more about this, I would strongly encourage you, go to a website called Wall Builders, David Barton. He does amazing work on the godly foundation of this country. It's irrefutable, okay? But that's it. We're honoring the source. When we honor the people who defended this nation, we're honoring the fact that this nation was ordained by God, and our founders absolutely, truly believed that. Hosea 10, verses 1 and 2 said, Israel was a spreading vine. He, Israel, brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred vows. This idea of memorializing things that we've done, so we're actually honoring ourselves, is very dangerous, because what is God going to do? With all those things, it says as they became prosperous, as they grew, they honored more of their own creation, of their own creation, of what their own hands produced. And God is going to do what? Destroy it. That's why I have no idea when this is going to be. I know that for the first time, as I've said here in the last couple years, for the first time, technology is in place for the things that we see in the book of Revelation to take place, okay? You know, the world being able to be governed from one place, currency, all this mark of the beast, all that kind of stuff. We have the technology. Now, I don't know whether it's going to happen in a year, 10 years, 1,000 years. I don't know. But when it happens, and when God's going to destroy it, he's going to destroy it for this reason. When God comes back and destroys the world, it's going to be for this reason. Because mankind has gotten to the place that they're worshiping their own creation, not the source of the creation. And we certainly see ourselves headed in that direction on a worldwide basis, amen? I mean, we've talked about this before, people who say, you know, the whole globalist people who just think that individuals are just useless eaters that don't produce anything. We don't need anybody anymore. We're moving this way with this transhumanism and artificial intelligence and all this. Cassie, I was talking to her the other day, and she said that she was listening to some show along these lines with technology and religion, and saying basically, if you want to avoid becoming one of the cyborgs that they're going to want to, which is inevitable, you're going to have to basically live like an Amish person. And you probably will, but even then, I'm not sure that's going to work, because I don't know if they'll let you. That's where they say, take the mark or else, right? We know that biblically that's where it's going to end up. There are people who try to do that, but they'll say, well, take the mark of the beast or else it's going to cost you your life. So when the world does come to an end, when Jesus does return, it's because we are too busy worshiping our own creation rather than the creation itself and the source of that creation. I feel like you came to church this morning thinking you're going to hear a different sermon. Sorry. I've had people tell me before, you make my brain hurt, which is really, it's pretty an amazing thing, because if I make your brain hurt, that's evidence there's a God, because I'm not that smart. I told Cassidy yesterday, we were having this discussion on, again, the whole artificial intelligence and stuff. And did anybody catch this a couple weeks back? The head science guy for our current administration just in a press conference just made a statement that no one's ever made. We now have the ability to manipulate time and space. And he just said it as matter of fact as can be. Well, everybody's wondering if that technology is out there. Is it even possible? Does it exist? And he just stated it like it's a fact. So we were having this discussion, and I said, it's terrible because everybody's using this artificial intelligence. And I refuse to, I'm not going to, because it'll make you, look, people, we're stupid already, and we're getting dumber all the time. What is it going to be when a machine's going to do everything for you? It's not going to be very long until people won't even be able to speak anymore. They'll just grunt and growl and maybe make some pictures in the dirt with a stick because they're so stupid. I can't afford to give up any intelligence, folks, because I'm not that smart. I'm not going to let AI do something for me, artificial intelligence do something for me, to where I don't need to exercise my brain, okay? You need to exercise your brain. It's true, I heard a guy say, he's a smart guy, he's a Princeton graduate, blah, 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 but he was saying, he goes, I meet graduate students, PhD students, people that have their, I listen to them speak, and I read their writing, and they're practically illiterate, and it's true. I'm a horrible writer. I became a business major in college because it was the one major I could find that I didn't have to write. Then I went to seminary and had to write, and I've been writing ever since. But I'm a terrible writer. If I think your writing is bad, oh baby, it's bad. And there's a lot of bad writing out there by supposedly intelligent people. We're only going to get dumber. Don't do it. I don't know why. Where did I get off on that? We're worshiping our own creation, and we think we're so amazing, and all we're doing is making ourselves dumber. It's not good. It's not good. God says, when you do this, as the Jews did, he said, I'm going to destroy all that stuff that you think is so amazing. Because you know what? I'm still God and you're not. You think you're God because you can come up with all these great creations. You're not. And that's what Jacob was realizing. And that's why he made a memorial. This is significant. It's been affecting the world ever since. We need to thank God that these great people lived that are willing to lay down their lives for something bigger than them. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. Be a person that people thank God that you live, because you're not willing to fall for this. When the whole world tells you you should be going after this thing, you go, nope, I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to be the person he created me, and I'm going to be this instead. And the world, someday, people will thank God that you lived and stood your ground. That's where we need to be. I'll start to close it. Let's go to Exodus 24, verse 4. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar. In other words, he made a memorial. At the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he set young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sanctified young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in the bulls, and then the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Then Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words." Moses built an altar. He made a memorial to what? To the law, to God's way, to God's ordinances. This is how you should live. These are the guidelines that you follow. And he gave it to the Israelites and said, "Live according to this." Moses memorialized that God gave his people a structure on how to live their lives. This is so significant. We need to always look back to this day. I'm going to memorialize it because from here moving forward, it's going to impact us. We're going to live our lives the way God told us to this day, so we'll memorialize it. That's a memorial. It's affecting us going forward. And what is it? What's the memorial that they're building? For God saying, live like this. Live according to these ordinances. This is what's important. This is what will make you successful. This is what will make you happy. This is what will give you the provision that you need. This is what will make you pleasing to me. And so Moses built a memorial. He memorialized God's ordinances. And moving forward, they lived accordingly. It was established with blood, because we're told in Scripture that all covenants require it be established with blood. We've talked about this before. Memorial Day, this is why it's so important, the ultimate. The men and women who have died in service of this country made a covenant with this country in blood. And they said, this nation and this way of life is worth defending and dying for, and you cannot ever let it pass away. And so they established a covenant with us in their blood that we would continue to live as originally was intended at the founding of this nation. Are you with me? Do you get that? Now, I got news for you. We will eventually break that covenant. Again, it may not be in the next 10 years. It may be 1,000 years. But eventually that covenant is going to be broken. And when that covenant is broken, that's when Jesus will come back. But in the meantime, we stand and we continue to defend who we are as a nation because we have days like Memorial Day. We memorialize what this country is. We memorialize its foundation, and we memorialize the price of 2 million lives that have established a covenant with us to keep it as founded. Let me close with this. Matthew 26, verses 6 and 7, then I'm going to jump to verse 13. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Verse 13, assuredly I say to you, whenever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. It is important that we not simply take Memorial Day as a day of rest or the first time we use our barbecues. We must tell the stories of service, sacrifice, bravery to our children and to their children, so that the ideal of being obedient to God's calling is serving is something greater than ourselves is never lost from our nation. Because that's what why did I read that verse? Because that's what Jesus is saying. He says that what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. He's saying, tell the story. Tell the story of what this woman did, because it's important, it's significant, and it needs to be remembered. She anointed me. She said I was worth it. I was more valuable than this costly perfume. That's what we need to do. We need to memorialize this day and tell this story. I think the patriots that have given their lives, I'm speculating here, so give me some grace on this. I don't think, though, that they would want you to memorialize them. Because if you ever hear people who have won like the Medal of Honor, they say, I didn't do anything other than my job and I'm not special and I was scared to death. Don't call me a hero. They would want you to memorialize what they did, why they did it. The bigger picture. Not them specifically, but the cause for which they did it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Tell that story. Tell that story that this woman said, I, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, she recognized who I was. She recognized the purpose for which I came. Memorialize that. Tell your children that. I'm going to stop. I have a little bit more, but I'm going to stop. Of course, the ultimate memorial is remembering Jesus established what we have, the covenant with him in his blood. Remember these things because they affect our lives. If you forget God's creation, Jesus is living and dying and raising again, that God ordained this nation as a godly nation. If you just those simple things, if you forget those, how different would your life start to look? You'd start to live differently, right? If you forget that God created this world and made us in his image, and that Jesus was his son, come to the earth to die for our sins and then rose from the dead so we could have new life, and that we as a nation are established upon those Christian principles. If we forgot that, I mean literally forgot that, how different would we live? That's why memorials are important. So that you don't forget. In remembrance.